It's all about Southampton. The So-So Show with Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark.
Hello and welcome to Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show. We bring a light-hearted look at life in the city into your downloads every week. And it's hosted by ITV Prime Star television star Zoe Hanson.
And him, Simon Clark. I won't tell you which channel he's famous for being on. Now, this week, it's so exciting because the So-So Show goes national.
It's not a city that always gets loads of exposure, so it was a really treat to kind of feature you guys.
And we meet another Southampton lockdown entrepreneur.
We then handed some out to family and friends. The reaction that we got from them was really good, so we decided to make a website and go from there.
So your phone on Saturday night must have been exploding with text messages.
Well, it sort of was. So it's 7 o'clock on a Saturday night and it's mine and my Littlen's favourite TV show, In For A Penny. Now, me and my Littlen, we've watched this for years. I think it's been on for like two series. Always loved Stephen Mulhern on Britain's Got More Talent. Now, the story goes that I heard they were filming in Southampton. But I didn't know where and I didn't really know when. And then one Thursday afternoon, a friend of mine said that they were in Ocean Village. So I sort of ran into the living room and said to my Littlen, right, come on, quick. If you want to go and see Stephen Mulhern, get your shoes on a bit sharp, right? And we just chased out of the house and down to Ocean Village. And they were sort of situated just in front of Banana Wharf and Picture and Piano, right down on that little bit there. We sort of stood around watching him and, you know, my Littlen's a big fan. So she was really wanting to say hello and get an autograph and that sort of thing. After we'd stood there for about half an hour, I realised that they were working really hard. They were filming lots of people doing this challenge where they have to pick a bucket to go over their head. If it's got water in it, no money. If it's got confetti in it, you win 50 quid, right? So lots of people taking part in this. And then Stephen Mulhern sort of spots somebody in the audience and he's like, oh, mate, do you want to take part? And this guy's like, nah, nah, nah. So I shot my hand up and said, I'll have a go, because I realised that that was the only way that my Littlen was going to meet Stephen Mulhern, who she thinks is bigger than the Queen and better than the Queen, you know?
Right, okay.
So I go on to this TV show. We record for about 10 minutes, really, and he's taking the mick out the fact that we play all of the games and all of the challenges at home. Like the bucket of water over the head is one that we play in the bath. We do the parking challenge where you've got to make sure you're parked within the lines. And she always, in a car park, she'll always get out of the car and go, you wouldn't have won the money.
Do you do the after eight one as well?
Yes, that's it. So it starts off on your forehead and you've got to shake it down your face and into your mouth. We've done that one a few times. So I went and took part in it. Now, I reckon that they must have filmed at least 30 people to go onto this section of the show. And I was just very, very lucky to get onto the show on Saturday night because it was being filmed in Southampton and I was like, oh, is this going to happen? Is it not? So there we are in the starting sequence of the show. My phone started going ping, 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 ping. I've just seen you. If you didn't see it, what happened was I got three buckets of water over my head. I chose the wrong numbers. I didn't get the confetti. I didn't get the money. But because we'd raced out of the house so quickly, I hadn't thought about taking part. So I turn up in a white dress and obviously three buckets of water later, it's gone quite see-through. And what they did on the Saturday night show was they pixelated everything out.
To be fair, there's probably been a few pictures of you over the years that could have done with being pixelated.
You're so right. You're so right. In fact, there is a mate of mine. He did complain to ITV and said, why did you pixelate everything out? Dirty boy.
So after we talked about this a few months ago, it turns out you did make the final edit and you were in the show.
Yeah.
And you didn't win anything, but it was certainly a memorable appearance.
Just pride. I won a lot of pride. And actually, walking into school the next day, I don't know if it was sort of pride, but sort of a bit embarrassed, really, because everybody had seen me just get absolutely drenched. But somebody walking into school was like, oh, you're a superstar. And I'm like, I'm totally not.
But I bet Lois felt like the most important person in school on Monday, as everyone was saying, oh, we saw your mum on the telly.
I know. The teachers saying, oh, we saw your mum on the telly, I mean.
Well, of all of the things you could be famous for, I think there is a lot worse.
And do you know what I think? Right. I always think, you know, we're on it, right? The So-So Show, we are on it. If there's something going on in Southampton.
We don't just report the local news and goings on. We're actually part of it. And it's not the only bit of national exposure that we've had this week with the So-So Show, because this podcast has made an appearance on Radio 4 Extra's Podcast Radio Hour.
How amazing is that?
And how did it happen? And why has it happened? Well, we caught up with co-presenter Chris Pearson, who told us how we ended up featuring in this week's edition of the show.
So Podcast Radio Hour is a programme every week on Radio 4 Extra. What we try and do is we try and meet people who make great podcasts, and we recommend great podcasts as well. So we often have lots of interviews to kind of get behind the scenes on how really nice podcasts are put together. And we recommend loads of different podcasts as well, you know, whether it be drama things or factual things or comedy or all sorts. There's not really any rules about what we won't talk about in terms of recommending podcasts. So if something is good, we will push it to people, and they can tune in on Fridays on BBC Radio 4 Extra, or on, you know, BBC Sounds or wherever you get your podcast. So yeah, we love doing it, because podcasting is such a huge world that's filled with so many different, like, diverse voices and people and ideas and perspectives, and to be able to collate some of those and present them to people as recommended listening is an absolute treat. It's a lovely thing to make.
Where did the idea for the tour that you've included us in come from?
Yeah, so this was an idea that was put together by my co-producer Laura, and partly it's because it's the bank holiday weekend, although some people, it's quite easy to forget that because everything's so strange at the moment. The challenge for us is always to get out of London, because it would be very easy for us to make an edition of the programme every week that just featured podcasts that were not necessarily even all about London, but were just made, you know, made in London. And it would be very easy to fall into that trap. And we are always very kind of consistently focusing on trying to get out of London and to make sure we highlight, you know, the UK as a whole, because there's such amazing podcasts coming from all over. What if we just tried to do a really jam-packed episode, and it is very jam-packed for us, there's a lot going on, where we just try to hear podcasts from all across the United Kingdom. And I think we've managed it. So yeah, it was lovely to discover a podcast from Southampton, for sure, and to feature it, because I have the Southampton connection, and it's not a city that always gets loads of exposure. So it was a really treat to kind of feature you guys amongst, you know, 28 or so other brilliant podcasts.
Why do you think podcasts have grown in popularity over the last few years?
Yeah, it's a kind of combination of factors. Certainly in the last year, it's been a way that people can make programs from quite often from the comfort of their own home. I know for us, certainly, we do a lot of interviewing kind of over video recording. So it's a really kind of blossoming market, because also anyone can make one, you know, or you can have really, really fancy equipment, and you can really get into the technicals, and you can really stress over things like loudness levels and things. But it's the type of content that anyone can make, and it's really accessible. And also, I think podcasting as a word is just becoming more widely known as to what it is. It's kind of moved away from this sort of more perhaps niche hobby of sort of a decade ago, and it's moved away from a thing that was just kind of almost exclusively catching up on radio programs into a world where originations are made for podcasts all across different spectrums, and there's just so much great content. I think it's quite an intimate connection you have if you really love a podcast and you listen to it every week and you have those headphones in your ears. It just feels so much more kind of focused on what the people are actually talking about than if you were, say, watching a television program and, you know, looking at your phone half the time or various other mediums. So yeah, it's a great platform to be involved in, for sure. And it's just so much exciting things that are constantly happening, and so many big names just want to make podcasts because they know it's how you interact with your audience in a really intimate way.
I always find podcasts make chores so much easier. Like, I painted a fence last weekend and listened to all 12 episodes of The Great Post Office Scandal because I really wanted to know more about the story, and I happened to know that there was a series on Radio 4 about it, so I searched it down and I listened to the whole thing. And that 2.5 hour chore just disappeared while I was listening to that story in my ears. Makes a nice change from listening to music sometimes, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think having, especially podcasts that have a sort of a narrative thing going on where you do just want to hit the next episode and hit the next episode and hit the next episode. Obviously, at the moment, a lot of us are trying to do maybe more walking or more going outside, and to be able to listen to something like that on the go is great. I mean, for me, because obviously I listen to podcasts for work in inverted commas, but I have my kind of pleasure podcasts as well that I listen to when I'm doing sort of more fun things. And yeah, to be able to kind of cook a really nice meal and have a podcast going on the whole time, yeah, it's great.
So tell me about your Southampton connection then. I take it you were born in the area.
Yeah, so I would normally tell people I was born in Southampton because not a lot of people know where Hythe is, but I was actually born in Hythe, which is, of course, just across the water from Southampton. Jump on the Hythe ferry and away you go, or take the old Blue Star number 9 or other bus services. Well, to be fair, I haven't taken that bus in a little while, so it might be numbered something differently now. But yeah, so I was born in Hythe in the New Forest, and Southampton was the sort of place that we went to nominally for kind of shopping or musical events. Musical events, that makes it sound really old. Normally for shopping or for gigs or for big films and stuff as well, as the way to kind of get out of Hythe and see something kind of in the big city. But yeah, I haven't had as many opportunities as I'd like to go back, of course, because various things have been going on in the last year. It makes it a bit more difficult to travel, but I do miss it, and I really miss being so near the water. That's like a really big thing for me, is being able to see, you know, being able to see the water. And we have that in London with the Thames, and it just doesn't quite hit the same, you know. I really just miss, yeah, I do miss it a lot. And the other thing I really miss about Southampton, sorry to go on a bit, but this is probably the show to do it on, is like, whenever I go back to Southampton, especially to Hythe, I'm just struck by how gorgeous the night sky is. And I always try to make the time to look up and just enjoy how clear the atmosphere of the sky is. Because in London, it's a lovely city. There's so much great stuff going on, but the air pollution just means it's really hard to see stuff. But, you know, don't get that in the New Forest. Don't get that in Southampton. Great stuff.
But you do get lots of panicky 999 calls whenever they're burning off the gases at Forley and the sky turns orange.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's Chris Pearson, who is co-presenter of the Radio 4 Extra podcast Radio Hour, along with Laura Grimshaw. And they feature us in this week's edition. You can have a listen to it, broadcast at 11 in the morning and 9 p.m. on Friday, the 30th of April. And it's available on the BBC Sounds app. And we are one of the 28 local podcasts from around the country they featured on their podcast tour.
I mean, amazing. I thought Radio 4, that's for posh people and cultured people. That's not us.
Well, it's Radio 4 Extra. That's even more niche.
I'm going to have to ring my dad. Oh, do you know what?
Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show.
I was in town this week and I felt kind of comforted by the sight of the Queen Mary 2. She was docked in at the cruise terminal. And I don't think I've seen a cruise ship in the city for so long that I'd genuinely forgotten how huge they are.
Yeah.
And it was just reassuring to see it there, because it's just one of those signs that things are coming back to normal.
Yeah.
And then I drove past the platform tavern and there were tables outside and people had been enjoying some food. And then after the platform tavern, I saw a docking station for an e-scooter.
Oh, yes, the orange ones.
And it only had the one scooter on it. So clearly the scooters are proving to be very popular, but they're a bit of a contentious issue.
Yes.
In the poll that you launched this week on our social media.
Yes, they are. So I said, do you love them or do you hate them? Now, we've had a lot of comments and we've had a lot of response on this. Mark Smith said, can I vote for indifference? Ryan is totally in favour of these. But I think where the confusion comes is between the private e-scooters and the e-scooter trial. So the ones that are orange that are in town, they are the trial. Okay, they are the ones that you can go and hire for 14p a minute. You've got to take your driving licence. It's advisable to wear a helmet as well because you're only allowed to ride them on the road.
Yeah.
But I love this one. So I put up a video of me riding a scooter and sort of showing you how to get going on it. And David Roberts said, well, that's 55 seconds. I'll never get back.
E-scooters are the new dog poo, aren't they? Everyone seems to have a very strong opinion of it on the pavement.
Yes, they do. I've never heard them described like that, but you're so right. And everybody's moaning about them being on the pavements. And you're like, yeah, but they're not allowed to go on the pavements. And they're not allowed to... Oh, anyway. So the trial, though, the council have sort of tweeted and Facebook this week saying how amazingly well this trial has been received in Southampton. So... yeah, it's interesting. Interesting.
It's great to hear you sounding a lot better, though, because last week on the podcast, you'd had your COVID jab and it had knocked you for six.
Yeah, just a bit. I was feeling rotten, right? And I put all of my energy into the podcast and I went and led down for about 8 hours afterwards.
But I noticed you were well enough to go drinking in the evening.
This is how ill I was. So I was invited down to the pre-opening of Orange Outside. So you know Orange Rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Out the back there, where they normally put all their bottle bins and stuff, they've changed that yard into this beautiful sort of bohemian garden. And they've got a DJ out there and they've got little hammocks that you can sit in. And it's absolutely glorious. And I was invited to this pre-opening and I was desperate that I was going to go because it's the first time I've been out this year. And I went and I lasted an hour, Simon.
When you got home, did the babysitter say, wow, you must be ill?
Yeah, she did. Because I could walk in a straight line as well.
Now, still to come, if you have a collection of old rags that you need to do something with, we'll tell you who will gratefully receive them. But now we're going to meet another of the many lockdown entrepreneurs who've sprung up in the city over the last 14 months or so. These are people who didn't say they were going to learn a foreign language and then promptly not bother. These are people who actually achieved something. Like Jade Marsh, who set up Shimmer Candles in Bitton.
I've always loved candles and wax melts. I started doing this because I was spending a bit too much money. Yes, I was buying too many.
Were you getting told off?
Maybe, yeah. I love candles, so I thought, well, I'll give it a go. And started making candles.
No, but you say it like, oh, so then I just started making candles, right? This is not a sort of, you know, okay, I put the kids to bed and then I'll make a couple of candles. How do you go about that?
We had to really look into it and there's a lot that goes into making them. Yeah, we started looking into it and then I started like playing around with different scent and trying out different waxes, and we then handed some out to family and friends, and the reaction that we got from them was really good, so we decided to make a website and go from there.
So at the time when you launched your website, how many candles or wax melts or how many products were you selling at the time?
Not many, because we were still quite new. Not a lot of people really knew about wax melts. So yeah, when we started, it was mainly family and friends, and then it started getting out a bit more and it just grew from there. We were selling to people in Scotland, Wales, literally all over the country.
So what did you decide to do next?
We went on to do wax melts, pods, and then we were in a shop for a little while, and they were doing really well in there and the feedback was great. So last year in lockdown, we decided to get a shop.
But you were a big fan of Boris, I'm thinking, when he said that everything could reopen April the 12th. And how did it go?
It was amazing. Honestly, I'm so happy to be back open. The amount of people that turned up on our opening day was just absolutely fantastic.
And you had somebody special come and open it?
Yeah, we had Matt Letiz.
What?
Yeah, he come in. He was really, really, really good. There was quite a few children that were waiting to see him, And he spent a bit of time just talking, taking some photos with him.
And which was his favourite wax melt? Which one?
We gave him a few different ones. We gave him the baby powder and some of the fruity ones. He was having a little look around. Yeah. It didn't actually say what his favourite one was, but I'm sure we'll find out soon.
There's an interesting one in there. So a wax melt goes in a burner, doesn't it? So this is one of these things that you've seen with a little candle in the bottom and then the wax in the top. And when the wax melts, it creates this beautiful smell. So there's the fruity ones. And then you say there's baby powder. Yeah. That's a bit of a strange one, isn't it?
I love the baby powder one. It's really popular. Actually, it's probably one of our most popular ones. We sell a lot of the candle, the baby powder candles. The baby powder wax melts, a lot of people like, especially people that like prefer the fresher smells. Yeah. So the fresh linen, the baby powder.
I love the Seychelles. That's me. That is my favourite. The Seychelles, yeah. I'll go with that. I feel like I'm on holiday.
My all-time favourite is strawberry and rhubarb.
That's Jade Marsh from Shimmer Candles in Bitton, where they create the most incredible aromas.
That sounds ridiculous. I know what you mean, but I'm just being childish. Honestly, their shop is so beautiful. Honestly, they've really made it lovely. And you walk in there and you're like, ah. But I found some of the smells are, you know, they're stunning, you know. So there might be a Seychelles wax melt that will fill your home with this beautiful scent. But then baby powder, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't know why anybody would want their house to smell like baby powder.
Baby powder is one of those nostalgic smells, isn't it? It makes you feel kind of, oh, because it reminds you of when your kids were little or maybe when you were little yourself. So it's a great time-travelling scent, that one.
Yeah, but that, working on that basis, you would have a wax melt like shepherd's pie, wouldn't you? Reminds me of my childhood.
Well, this is the thing. You know, we talked before about how music has the ability to turn us all into time travellers. Smells must be the same.
Yes, you're totally right.
So fresh cut grass, for example, makes me feel like I'm at primary school and the council have just driven round with that Land Rover that tows the lawnmower that's right. Cut all the grass.
Oh, you had a posh school, didn't you?
It was always an exciting day when they came and cut the grass because you'd know that it would smell fantastic and then you'd spend the rest of the lunch break throwing grass at each other.
Right, so, yes.
You know, maybe it's that carefree thing that it reminds me of.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's the innocence of it. And Jade at Shimmer Candles, she was telling me about some strange requests that she's had. So bleach is one, petrol and monkey farts.
Monkey farts.
Who knows what they smell like? I mean, they might be quite fruity.
They probably have undertones of banana or something right. Like that. That's odd.
Isn't it?
You must walk out of that shop with complete sensory overload because of how many fragrances there are in there.
Yeah, and do you know what? You walk out of that shop with your little bag of wax melts waiting to get home, chasing to get home so you can make your house smell gorgeous.
Or of monkey farts.
Another request I've spotted this week. So Eastleigh Lakeside Railway, they are looking for sheets, towels and pillowcases. Anybody that can donate them because they're trying to be COVID safe. So they have to wipe everything down after every ride. But they actually put on there and no pants. Yes, that has happened before.
Well, you see, I use pants for cleaning stuff all the while, but they're my own.
You do not.
Oh, yeah. My bike, when I come in and it's been particularly muddy, I've got a stockpile of old pants that I'll use for cleaning stuff down. Don't you?
Are they still as a pant?
Well, they're boxer shorts.
Like, are they still intact?
They are still intact boxer shorts.
So when you wash them, after you've washed them, no matter what stains they've got on them from the bike cleaning...
I can see where this is going.
You still put them out on the line as pants.
No. When I've cleaned the mud off my bike with the old boxer shorts, complete with stains, they then go in the bin. They're a single use only thing. But everyone's got old pants in their old rag pile, haven't they?
No chance. No chance.
Well, you probably wear G-strings the whole time, so they're not really a lot of use.
You wouldn't be able to rub anything down with them. Did I just say that?
You did. I tell you what, it's a good job that we've all been not going anywhere for 12 months and not spending any money.
Yeah.
Because if we do want to go out and go somewhere, it's going to cost us a fortune to park. I saw the other day at Manor Farm Country Park, they've stuck the parking charges up.
Right.
How much do you reckon for 2 hours at Manor Farm?
20p.
£4.40 for 2 hours.
What? That must be the same as Royal Victoria Country Park then. When I went to pay for my parking there, I was like, oh my goodness.
The thing is, if you're going all day, then it's £7.
Mm.
But if you're only going for a couple of hours, maybe they realise that a lot of people go for reasonably long dog walks.
Right.
So they'll make a bit more money from the people who are only going to go for 2 hours than they are the people who are paying £7 to park there all day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And but, you know, that's what everybody wants at the moment, is that fresh air stuff, you know, is getting out there with your family and going on walks. Look at all the amount of walkers there are now.
And cycling's taken off in a big way. When I go cycling now, I see more female cyclists than I ever have done before.
He's clocking all of you. Just remember that.
Yeah, they're going the other way, so I don't get to enjoy that view.
I hope that these parking meters aren't sort of manned. I know that they are a parking machine and stuff, but there was one time when I was living in Cardiff, and I used to go and watch the Cardiff Devils ice hockey team on a Sunday evening, and the only place to park was this NCP car park that was so expensive. It was extortionate. Anyway, one day I'd gone there, I got back to my car and put the ticket in the machine. And when the price came up for the parking, I went, and the little voice came out of the speaker and said, language.
I had a Facebook reminder come up a couple of weeks ago of the time I parked down by the castle walls in Southampton and got back to my car with about 3 minutes to spare. And there was a parking warden effectively goal hanging my car. And I hid behind the wall and waited for 2 minutes so that I would arrive back with seconds to spare.
Oh, just teasing them.
I thought, I can't believe this guy is waiting to see whether I come back in time or not.
Oh, he probably lost his commission because he is.
He could have just walked up the road and then come back rather than just hanging around the car.
Some brilliant things have been happening around the city. Things are starting to come back to life. All the shops are open. West Quay, new store coming to West Quay soon. This is so exciting. Hamleys.
As in the big toy shop in London, Hamleys.
You've absolutely nailed it. Yes, that's coming to West Quay soon.
Wow.
And a couple of things coming up as well. So Curdridge Autumn Fest has been announced for October the 16th. And Oktoberfest at the Guildhall is going to happen. It's for 3 days at the end of October.
And the good thing about that is, even if you can't hold it indoors, they can certainly hold it outdoors with all of that space around the square, I guess.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, if you're planning an event over the summer as lockdown restrictions ease, please do let us know and we'll make sure that you get a mention on Southampton's very own podcast, The So So Show. You can reach out to us via our social media because we're on Facebook, Instagram and on Twitter, or you can find us online and drop us a note via the website. We'd love to talk about what you're up to. And you never know, we may even get to have a proper chat on the show if you'd like to do that.
Yes. So anything going on around the SO postcode, let us know because you know how we like to get involved.
Excellent stuff. Have a great week, Zoe.
And you, Simon.
You've been listening to Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark on Southampton's podcast, The So So Show.